Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. We will link to that website below. Now, Eric, let's talk about the precious metals market. If you're looking at gold, if you're looking at silver, they're both down today. Gold is down now under 1800, just under 1800, but we've been here before. Silver is down about 85 cents on the spot market right now. Now in the 22 region for silver, the stocks are also selling off, and it sure feels like a long time ago when we were talking so positively about that pop that happened for gold and GDX. That was just last Wednesday, and now that 7% gain in GDX, 9% gain in the gold juniors ETF, those have all been given back. So, Eric, what's your assessment of the health of the precious metals market, including the stocks?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a very interesting time. I mean, I thought the miners, if you're stock picking, I mean, I think there's been cheap juniors out there over the last 17 months. And over the last 17 months, we have been in a broad downtrend in miners overall. But now I'm starting to see, you know, what pretty much feels like, if I can remember correctly, what it felt like buying during the bottom, especially in 2015-16. I mean, we had that, in my opinion, breakout from, you know, GDX SPY ratio. And when I, you know, went back and looked what happened the weeks after the, let's say, the short term after that ratio broke out, well, miners actually performed pretty lousy. GDX went down 11 to 15% in the following 2 to 4 weeks. So a ripper like that we saw last Wednesday, as you said, was followed by lackluster and, yeah, pretty terrible, actually, action before it actually started to turn around. And if I'm looking at just GDX specifically, I mean, we are forming what looks to be the typical pattern of both major bottoms. We have a drop and then a retracement to, I don't remember the exact Fib number, and then we're making a horizontal or rounded bottom pattern. And I mean, today, for example, I was expecting miners, major miners and mid-tiers, GDX and GDXJ, to open up like -4 or 5% when gold was down 2% and silver was down 4.5%. And for a while, in early on in the trading day, GDX was even up. And we saw that early strength yesterday as well. So given that last Wednesday, we saw a 6 to 9% pop, which I don't think I've seen in 17 months or 12 months at least. And then we have this kind of, you know, weird strength in the miners all of a sudden when the metals get slaughtered. I mean, I think that must be telling us something, I think, about, you know, a lack of sellers, and that the risks are beginning to be to the upside because that's beginning to be the path of least resistance, I think. But what I am expecting still is that we actually do have a breakdown. There's one trend line, two support zones in GDX. So let's say we go down to $28. That's not far off from here. That would break all those supports. And I don't know anyone that could be bullish at that point in time. And that's basically what I saw during the major bottom of 2018 and 2015-16. Nobody, no trader was looking at the chart and said, hey, I'm going to buy this. And investors aren't buying it because they're scared to death that the trend will continue forever. Nobody's paying attention to value right now. I see the forum chatter about, you know, sell because they're going lower. I have yet to pretty much see anyone say sell because it's overvalued. Well, a few stocks here and there. And of course, the Gatto Silver news yesterday put another, you know, shrimp on the barbecue, the bear barbecue, that miners are risky and they can go down 70% in a day. So I just see this as a perfect storm if it breaks support, because, you know, 0.1% might be bullish at that point. And obviously that means that most will have sold already.
Well, Eric, it sounds like what you're saying is then you're looking for a capitulative event where basically the sentiment just gets completely washed out. And even though sentiment has been sour for a while after such a long correction, you're looking for basically a false breakdown that then reverses quickly as that gets rid of the last of the sellers. Is that kind of what you're looking at?
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, I've seen in some juniors recently, I mean, especially on the, you know, more depressing days, let's say, over the last few weeks, I mean, I was almost the only buyer. And now, I mean, with medals getting slaughtered, and I don't see a more of a reaction than this. It's like, I mean, that just, you know, impulsively tells me there's no motivated sellers left almost. And I guess, you know, someone, I mean, we don't see a lot of buying, but it certainly looks like, I mean, for all the reasons which we typically would expect a big sell-off day to happen, I mean, like metals getting slaughtered and all of that, and the other markets ramping, we're not seeing that today. So what does that mean? I mean, that tells me that there's not many, I mean, people who were going to sell, they've already almost sold off. But at the same time, if we're this close to juicy support zones, I mean, that's, I think that's too good to pass up, to just have that actually final break and maybe shake out the last 2% of people who were planning on selling, let's say, or were, are sitting right now on the fences, like, should I sell or not? And if they see a breakdown, I think they're going to start pricing in doomsday, that the juniors will go to zero and the mining sector will be no more, etc. Because that's what I saw in the last previous two major bottoms. So I don't think, again, this is like nobody's selling here because they're looking at, you know, the average junior, especially gold junior, like, yeah, they're overvalued. No, this is herd mentality, and I think the herd is running out of shares to sell.
Well, it is a sentiment-driven market, right? A lot of markets are sentiment-driven, and it sounds like you're hoping for a little breakdown compared to where, let's say, GDX has been in around the 28 level. That could bring in some more selling, it sounds like, from you. Some people just finally leaving the sector. But the fact is, Eric, this sector seems to still be trending lower. And even though you're encouraged to sometimes see these short-term breakdowns happen, the problem is we continue to test these lower levels. We're not in that environment where we're testing upper Bollinger Bands or any upper resistance levels. It's a lot of these support levels. And it's happening at the end of the month. So does that mean you're waiting for next month? You're waiting for a further breakdown to start buying? Or are you in there now buying?
No. I mean, I'm buying every month. I try to buy every week. When I talk about GDX, I mean, I'm not invested in GDX. I just use that as obviously a proxy because, I mean, they're so correlated. When miners trend down, everything trends down. But I'm a stock picker. I mean, there are a bunch of companies that have added a lot of value during this 17-month long downtrend. So if GDX is, you know, no-brainer sheep, I don't know about that. I mean, the mining business overall is obviously kind of lousy because they're eating their own future every year. And if you eat it up when, you know, prices are relatively low, obviously that's even worse. I'm into stock picking. I'm into growth stocks. There are obviously, I mean, there's been a bunch of discoveries made that has not been rewarded yet by the market. So I see that as a price to value gap just widening. So it's like, I have no idea where we're going to go. I would just expect that we see a final break in GDX and that, you know, flushes out a bunch of people in every junior, which has nothing to do with GDX. And I mean, gold being down, let's say gold falls 3-4%. Who cares? I mean, these juniors, their projects won't be in production for another 10 years anyway. But that's how the market works. I mean, you got to get used to that, obviously. So I can't afford to pass up when the price to value gap and the opportunities are this good because I have a suspicion that they might be even better. So far, this strategy has worked out for me. It's certainly not for everyone because you're going to be looking like a moron for like 17 months in a row, and then you're going to look like a genius for, you know, 12 months in a row. So that's the way I play it. I don't think many like to do that because it's like being dragged across concrete for 17 months. But I'll stop buying the day I don't see a sheep junior, and I'll sell when I can't find a single sheep junior. And right now I see more sheep juniors relative to where the price of gold and the value of the gold business is than I have ever seen before. 2015-16 bottom, that was hard to buy because the business was worthless. Now the business is, you know, relatively great. I mean, best it's been, or near the best it's been in decades. And people are still scared shitless that their juniors are going to go down to zero. I mean, talk about margin of safety. This is a way better opportunity, in my opinion, from a price-to-value perspective than the 2015 and 16 bottom. But nobody, you know, pretty much agrees because everyone's looking where the price is going to go next month.
Well, Eric, just in this kind of environment where there are so many I guess you could say miners on sale. Everything's pulled back across the whole sector. I know that you've mentioned before that your portfolio actually has more stocks in it now. You're actually more diversified than you've ever been. Is that because you're just seeing so much value all over the place? Or how are you approaching your portfolio management? Do you want to get more concentrated in just a few names when you're adding every month now, just the ones that you think are the best? Or are you spreading the love around across your portfolio?
Right now, I'm so greedy that I spread the love around, because I can barely look into a junior right now that's, you know, at least decent, you know, decent people, etc., and don't come to the conclusion, wow, this is cheap. So I'm like exhausted mentally from having to make decisions, because I can go through like 40, 50 names. And when I stumble upon a specific name, I want to buy it. Then I come across the next one, I want to buy that too. So I never have had a harder time just deciding where to put my money. But the question if I should put money in has never been clearer. And back in 2015, 16, then we had a real threat of bankruptcy, etc. So that diversification came in as survive until this sector turns around, basically. And if you were concentrated then, and you know your favorite junior ran out of money and there was no financings around, that would be a big problem, obviously, because you wouldn't be around for the bull to resume again. Now, I mean, institutions, we see private placement, they're doing well. We see upsized raises. So access to capital is pretty good. So I don't think the risk of bankruptcy is high. And now I'm simply diversified, A, because my portfolio is larger, and B, because there are so many companies I want to buy. But when valuations are higher, like, you know, during the 2016 peak and the 2020 peak, etc., the percentage of the juniors that are, you know, no-brainers, let's say, or incredibly cheap, price to value wise, that list has grown a lot smaller. So I become more concentrated automatically, because I don't see as many bargains as I see right now. So, I mean, I could be concentrated right now, but since everything almost is on sale, I feel like diversification won't take too much away from the, you know, upside, because typically, you know, diversification. But when so many juniors out there are trading with what I expect to be an easy 100, 200% return in the next 12 to 24 months, I feel like I can afford to have that, the comfort of diversification, but I will also have be exposed to great returns, regardless if I have more stocks than typically.
All right, Eric, we'll wrap it up here, but I know most of the precious metals investors, they're just wanting their stocks to go up. It's been a long grind lower, and that hope that really came in mid last week did have a lot of people hoping that, okay, maybe the metals will move higher, maybe the stocks will move higher. And unfortunately, they've given them all back, and they've given it all back at the end of the month. So might take some more time. I know a lot of eyes now on when the Fed starts the rate hiking cycle, what that'll do for gold, but that's 5 to 6 weeks off now. So, well, a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'm glad you're finding so many sales out there on these stocks. I know, again, that these companies and investors would like to see them move a little higher. Eric, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week, and it'll be a whole new month, so hopefully a new trend to talk about. Thanks as always for your time, buddy. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. The same.